all the word is good, and it's good all the time. So we're going to talk about dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Romans 6, beginning with verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse 14. I think I'm going to read it because I have one translation in my study, and I'm going to be reading from the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible this morning. Well, then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live, and do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's peace. That is good news for the believer. Amen. I've got a question. Y'all know I like asking questions. So, do you think, and maybe y'all to write this down, because this is something that we all need to consider. Do you think that most Christians, the believer, the body of Christ, do you think most Christians take sin seriously? Do you? Anybody? Why? Why do you feel they don't? Well, that's the question, but since I asked you, why do you believe they don't? Continue to do it over and over again. So this is your personal question. Do you, as the individual, as pastor would say, don't raise your hands, don't answer, but do you take sin seriously? Because that's something that we all need to consider, because we are living in the last hours, and Jesus is on the way back. He could come at any time. So we need to ask ourselves. Paul told us, he said, you got to work out your soul's salvation. He said, it's a daily thing. So we need to ask ourselves, we need to look at ourselves at the end of the day. We need to consider what we did, what we said, where we went, what, all of that stuff. We need to consider that at the end of the day. Maybe it's not a good idea to wait till the end of the day because you might not make it to the end of the day. But we need to constantly ask ourselves, am I serious about this thing? Look at what we do. And if we are not serious, you know, it's past time for us to get serious. Amen. Paul had been teaching the church at Rome in chapter 5, in verses 20 and 21. He had been teaching them, and he told them about how God's grace, how abundant his grace was, and how wonderful his grace was. And now when we come over in chapter 6, it's like Paul had an idea from some of the conversations that he had overheard, or the witnessing the lives of the people. Paul said that he realized that the people had the wrong intake about what he had preached in chapter 5, because their thought was, if it's true that where sin increased, grace increased all the more, then why not go on sinning? Because if we go on sinning and grace abounds even the more, then grace is going to increase as we continue to sin. But that is not the case. Grace is sufficient to cover all of our sins. Grace gives God an opportunity to show his love, his mercy, his compassion for us. But Paul asked the question in Romans chapter 6. He said, shall we go on? And he said, God forbid. So Paul responds by letting them know that continuing a lifestyle of unrestrained sin is not consistent with the life of the believer. We are now a new creation in Christ. We are now identified as Christian believers. So the person we used to be, the person that was a slave to sin, Paul said it's died. That person has died. So we now have a new life, which comes from Christ, a life that freed us. We are free from sin's control. We free. The songwriter said, no longer bound. Ain't got no chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. We're free. We're free to worship. We're free to come to God. When Jesus said it is finished, the veil was torn. We got free access. We are free. And the scripture says, whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. We can't forget we are free. So shall we go on sinning? Or should you and I keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of this wonderful grace? Really? We already know the answer to that question. After our conversion to Christ, you and I, we cannot continue to live the same way we used to live. See, more produces more in the physical world. So wouldn't it cause grace to increase, and wouldn't more opportunity to God to increase his grace glorify him more? Every opportunity God gets to increase his grace, you would think, wouldn't that glorify him more? No. We as Christians have to be careful about our assumptions. More sin will never result in more grace. Paul was outraged by their response. His reply was, of course not. Of course not. You can't keep on sinning, because that voids out everything that Jesus did on the cross. It makes his coming be in vain. It makes his dying be in vain. It makes his shedding of his blood be in vain. It makes him taking all of our sins away be in vain. It makes him getting out of the grave be in vain. So Paul was outraged. He said, of course not. By no means is this acceptable behavior for a Christian. Sin will never glorify God. As a matter of fact, sin separates us from God. So we believers, we glorify God by becoming the righteousness of Jesus the Christ. That's how we glorify God. Not by sinning more, that God can prove that he can give us more grace, because his grace is so wonderful and his grace is so abundant. We glorify God by becoming the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Verse 2 said we died to sin. So if we died to sin, how can we continue to live in something that's dead? We can't. The reason that we can no longer continue in a lifestyle of sin is that we have died to sin. The person who was previously under the control of sin, that person has died. It no longer exists. A change took place. Galatians 2 and 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul said in Galatians 2, 19 and 20, he said, it was the law that condemned me to death. And it condemned him to death because he couldn't keep the law. We couldn't keep the law. If we could keep the law, God never would have sacrificed his son. But Paul said, I couldn't keep the law, because during that day, if you broke any part of the law, you were guilty of breaking the whole law. So Paul said, the law condemned me to death. He said, I had to die so that I could live for God. Because he needed God's grace, and we need God's grace. But church, we got to die to self. Paul goes on to say, I do not live anymore. He said, it is Christ who lives in me. Yeah, we still live in these fleshly bodies, but we got a new master, and we need to give God some praise for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Give him some praise for the Holy Spirit. And in Colossians 3 and 3, for you died to this life, that old life, and your real life, our new life, is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, it is inconsistent with our identity as Christians to live as if a change has never taken place. Your old sinful self, you, died by faith. We believers, we consider or we think of ourselves to have died with Christ. And since we are a new creation, because we died with Christ, now the process of conforming begins to be like him. Your new life, your spiritual life, the scripture says it's hidden. It's kept with Christ in God. So his destiny now and our destiny become inseparable. We are all following Christ. We are on the same path. We got his will in mind, not our will anymore, but his will. His purpose for our life is the purpose that we are now trying to live, not what we purpose to be, what God wants us to do. Amen? Since our life is hidden with Christ in God, we should not be occupying ourselves with the petty things of this world. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 8, he said, since you are in control of your thoughts, and we are in control of our thoughts, the devil don't make you do nothing. You are in control of your own thoughts. Amen? So Paul said, since you are in control of your thoughts, he said, we need to be thinking on positive things. Everything that's true and noble and just, things that are pure and lovely, of good report, virtuous things, and praiseworthy things. He said we need to be thinking on those things. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. All of us when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him and were buried or baptized into his death. The beginning of the Christian life was our initial faith and trust and baptism. Paul wants us to understand exactly what happened when we trusted Christ, so that we will understand what the results of that decision we made would be. A lot of people have the wrong idea about being baptized. Being baptized don't save you. When I witness to people, and I know that they're not in the house of God, they don't come to Bible studies, they're not in God's house, and I ask them, you know, why don't you come to hear the word of God? Why don't you come to Bible study to be taught? And they say, well, I'm already saved because I got baptized. No. Two things. When we joined with Christ in baptism, we were joined with him, we were buried and baptized unto his death. First, we died. And second, we were reborn. So let's look at we died. We died. Being submerged under the waters of baptism symbolizes our identification with Jesus and Christ in his death and his burial. Colossians 2 and 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life. Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. We were baptized into Christ and became spiritually united with him. In the Old Testament, it talks about being circumcised. Circumcision speaks of death of the flesh. But baptism speaks of the burial of our old man. We not only died with Christ, but we were buried with him. This was illustrated at our baptism at the time of conversion. You and I, believers, we expressed it in public confession when we went into the waters of baptism. We were showing the world that of this new trust in God, of our accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. It was an outward show to mankind of this newness that we now have because we are united with Christ. Amen. Baptism is a burial. It's the burial because, see, we were born, Scripture tells us we were born in sin, wrapped up in iniquity. We all came here as sinners. We were the children of Adam. But when we accepted Christ, when we united with him in his baptism, we became one in the body of Christ. In baptism, we acknowledge that nothing in ourselves could ever please God. We couldn't. If we could have pleased God, he never would have sacrificed his son for us. We couldn't please him. We were on our way to hell. And God loved us so much that he sent us a Savior. He sent us a Lord. But it gets better than that. Not only have we been crucified with Christ and buried with him, but we have also risen with him to walk in the newness of life. We are no longer what we were. We are now united with Christ. So everywhere we go, we take Christ with us. Everything we do it with him. Amen. And all of this happens at conversion. It doesn't happen when you get dipped down in the pool. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. But we all have been baptized into one body by one spirit. And we all share the same spirit. Listen, when Jesus died, You and I, believers, we died with him. As members of the body of Christ, we are evidence, the believer, we are evidence of God's amazing grace. Many parts, the scripture says, but one body. And we were all baptized into one body, one spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. The second thing, we were reborn. Our emergence, coming up from the water of baptism, it symbolizes our identification with Jesus the Christ in his resurrection. This new life in Christ that we receive from God as believers, now that is our only way of life. We don't have another life. We were the old man, we said, died. So we are new creations in Christ. Amen. As believers, we should live according to the principles of this new life rather than those of the old life. Realize what saved us is not the act of us physically going into the water of baptism, but realize what baptism represents. And baptism represents our identification through faith. 1 Peter 3:21. And that water, listen now, because we need to help people with this baptism piece. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you not by removing the dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. That old man, those old thoughts, it's gone. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Luke 12:50, Jesus is speaking. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. You see, Jesus was baptized in the waters of judgment. This is the basis for our salvation. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us. He was rebuked. He was rejected. And he went through all of that for us. Y'all remember the story of Noah and his family? They had to enter the ark, a physical ark, to be saved. But when we commit ourselves to Jesus as Lord and Savior, he has to be both. We become identified with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When this happens, then Galatians 2:20 that I read, crucified with him, and Romans 6:4 that I read, buried with him, bought from the from death to life with him, that's when those scriptures become a reality in our lives. But until then, all we're doing is reading words on a page. Amen. Verse 5 says, since we will be united with him in his resurrection, in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. You see, the believer's new life in Christ has both a present and a future. Present, it is already. It's done. Jesus already been to the cross. He already took away our sins. And it is not yet, because he's coming back after us, church. And I thank God that he is coming back. Amen. You see, spiritually, we have God's spirit living in us. Yes, we do. We are now united which is present with Christ. We're united with Christ right now because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three entities, one God, amen, living in us. But our physical resurrection, which is not yet, that lies in the future. And if through faith we have become united with him in his death, then we will certainly live with him through resurrection. 2 Timothy 2 and 11. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. 2 Timothy 2 and 11. In the spiritual sense, we died with him the moment we trusted him as Lord and Savior of our lives. That's why we can no longer live as our old selves. You can't entertain good and evil at the same time. You can only entertain one thought at a time. So when we, the moment we trusted him as Lord and Savior of our lives, we died. You see, Jesus died, some say as our scapegoat. I call him our representative or as our substitute. He died as our substitute because he did what we could not do. And you and I, we were guilty. Amen? Amen? We were sentenced to die and spend eternity in a burning hell. That was the sentence on all sinners. That still is the sentence on all that will not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. Hell is real. And Scripture tells us that hell is expanding herself. Why? Because more and more are going to go there. So hell has to expand herself. Let me help you. God never meant for us, his creation, to go to hell. He never meant that. That's why he gives us choice. So if we die and go to hell, that's on us. Because God has made a way for us to spend eternity with him, but it's our choice. Amen? You and I should have died for our sins, but Jesus died in our place. The songwriter said, and I love this song. Sometimes, you know, when as the old people said, when I just think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. But the songwriter said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin, it left a guilty stain, but he washed it white as snow. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Amen? We know that our old sinful self was crucified with Jesus so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Until you allow sin to lose its power, sin is going to continue to be powerful in your life. You control that, amen? We are no longer slaves to sin. Do you believe it? Because that's the first step, because if you don't believe that you're no longer a slave to sin, then you're going to continue to give in to sin. But you are no longer a slave. If you're a slave to sin, it's because you choose to be, amen? Scripture says, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. The old self. That's Paul's way of referring to the person each of us was before conversion. Our old self. Before conversion, we were under the control of sinful impulses and sinful desires. But that person has died with Christ. The result is that the body of sin, that physical body viewed as sin's instrument, Because of our conversion in Christ, that old body of sin has been made powerless. Sin no longer has the power to use our physical bodies to do evil. It doesn't have any power. I tell people all the time, the only power that Satan has is the power you give him. Because we got God living inside of us. And the scripture tells us that God is all powerful. We got an all-powerful God living inside of us. And you mean to tell me sin's still controlling your life? The devil is a liar. Amen? That person died. Sin doesn't have any power. The good news is we have been freed from slavery to sin. And one thing about this lesson we need to realize is we are free. When we come into the house, you know, it's like you come in bondage, you come in shackled, you come in bound, but we are free. So when are we going to start acting like we are free? Amen? I'm just going to use Pat's little dog because I know how that little dog is. But if Pat don't put Stella on that leash and she take her outside, Stella free. Stella is gone. Amen? And that's what we need to realize. We had a lease on us. We were in bondage. And Jesus died and took away all of our sins. And now we are just as free as Stella. You know, we can just go and go, but we need to go and go the right way. We need to go and have our minds transformed, renew our minds, put on the things of God, amen? Because God's glory comes when we become the righteousness of Christ, amen? Oh, we thank God. Just remember, sin doesn't have any power over you. And even when we fall short, we thank God that we can ask for forgiveness, amen? We're in a win-win situation down here as Christians. We just have to remember we don't have a license to continue in sin, amen? We've been freed from slavery to sin in the same way that a slave is free from his master's authority. You and I, having died in Christ, we are free from sin's authority over our lives. That's why we can tell Satan to get behind us. Because he don't control us. He's not leading us. Amen? And since we died with Christ, we know that we also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. If Jesus had not gotten up out of the grave, we would still be sentenced to hell. But we thank God that on the third day, early in the morning, he got up out of the grave. Amen? And scripture tells us that he now has been given all power in heaven and in earth. And he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. But it gets better than that. He's still interceding for us. Amen? That is good news. Amen? We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. And listen, he will never die again. He's not going to go back on that cross for nobody. As much as God loves us, Jesus said, "It is finished. Done deal. Daddy, I completed my assignment. Now it's left up to us." Amen? Death no longer has mastery or power over him. When Jesus died, he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. You see, church, death's ultimate victory was in the crucifixion of God's only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. That victory became death's ultimate defeat when its power was broken forever. 1 Corinthians 15:56 and 57. For sin is the sting that results in death. That's the sting. Scripture says, oh, death, where is that sting? The sting of death was sin, but Jesus broke that. Amen? You see, the law gave sin its power, and Jesus took care of that. Amen? We thank God. He gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus. 2 Timothy 1 and 10. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. Remember, those of us who share in Christ's death through faith, we also gonna share in his victory. Amen? In the spiritual sense, I told you that in the spiritual sense, we died with him the moment we trusted him. See, we got a trust issue in the church today. A lot of people talking about they got faith in Christ. Oh, I believe him and I trust him. I'm just leaning on him. No, you're not. Because as soon as adversity come in our lives, the first place we run is not to God. We don't get on our face before God. We get on the telephone. Or we text somebody. But you trust God. He should be first. And sometimes when things are going on, things are happening in your life, it's good to keep it to yourself. Because God is our everything. Because God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere present, why wouldn't you trust him? Because man is limited in everything. But let me help you a little bit more. So is Satan. Satan is limited. Amen? So, you should consider or count yourselves dead to sin, the power of sin. But you should consider and count yourself alive to God through Christ Jesus. Just as Jesus, having died, was released from the power of sin and death, so we too should consider ourselves dead with respect to sin. You have got to see yourself as dead to sin. Can't nobody see it for you. Until you see yourself as dead to sin, you're going to keep on sinning. And you can't go down the list and pick the ones that you think are not as bad as the others. Because sin is sin. Amen? In other words, we should act in harmony with what we truly are. So if you are free from sin, stop sinning. We should recognize the power sin formerly had over us. Sin had us in a bad place. I mean, listen, we were on our way to hell. Now, it don't get no worse than me. There's nothing worse than having a sentence of hell. No, I wouldn't want to have a death sentence to in the electric chair or by lethal injection or none of that. No, don't want that. But that's for a moment. Hell is for eternity. So until we vision ourselves as dead to sin, then we're going to keep on sinning. Amen? We can't continue to allow sin to control us. It no longer has any legitimate authority over us. We got choice. That's why I tell people we don't make mistakes. Mistake, if you get your concordance and look it up, you're not going to find mistake in no part of the concordance. We have choice. And Pastor said in this house, it's going to be a house of truth. Choice is what you decide. God has already made the way. He's already made the way. And we get to choose. Are you okay, Vic? You sure? Okay. We get to choose. No, you're fine. We get to choose the path we're going to follow. We choose our friends. We fill out applications and choose our jobs. We choose our husbands, and most of the time we don't even consider ask God before we choose that mate and end up in a bad fix, but we choose. We get to choose. And God said because he loves us so much, he's never going to take choice away from us. So as Paul said, we should no longer still be drinking milk. We should be eating the meat of the word. And the meat of the word is we have choice. So you choose your poison, your sin. You choose it. Because I just taught you this morning that we are free. Sin doesn't have any power over us. So if sin has no, if Jesus rendered sin powerless because of the finished work on the cross, and we have choice, whose fault is it if we miss the mark? Ours. We have to totally surrender our lives to Christ. And that's one of the problems. Because we saved and we on our way to heaven, and down here on this earth, we are not totally surrendered. Because a total surrendered life is a sacrificial life. We have to be in total obedience to the word of God. We can't pick and choose what part of these scriptures we're going to live by. Because at the end of the Revelation letter, God told John, he said, woe to them that change any word, any part of this word. That's from Genesis to Revelation. We can't make the word fit our lives. The word will fit your life, but you can't make it fit it the way you want it to fit it. Amen? God said what he said, and God meant what he said. Amen? And we have to be totally committed. Totally committed means that the things of God, the word tells us how to operate in every part of our lives. The word tells us how to operate on your job, how husbands and wives are to love them each other. The word tells us how to rear our children in the admonition of God's holiness. The word tells us how to treat the neighbors. The word tells us how we are supposed to take care of the widows and the widowers and the orphans. The word tells us how we should come into the sanctuary with a mindset of holiness, with a reverence to God. The word tells us everything we need to know about how to live holy to a holy God. Amen? And we still miss the mark. But we miss the mark not because we don't know. We miss the mark because we refuse to obey. Amen? Our bodies are instruments, are to be instruments of God's righteousness. You see, the world is watching us. And a lot of times if you talk to people, you will hear them say that, why should I come there when ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites in the house? Y'all doing the same things inside that I'm doing on the outside. Well, when they have that conversation with me, I said, well, why don't you come on inside and then we'll work on it together? Because if you can see my faults and I can see your faults, let's bring all the faults to God and ask him through his word and prayer how we can start fixing some of this brokenness. Amen? But to continue to serve sin would be like a slave having been freed from a slave master. You all know that the Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves. But some slaves, because of generation after generation of being in slavery, that's all they knew. So even though they were free, they continued to be a slave because that's all they knew. Well, we are free from sin. We are free from the death penalty of sin. We are free from the bondage of sin. We can no longer live in sin. Amen? Sin is not our master. There are only two masters. You got God and you got Satan. Only two masters. So either you're going to live, transform your mind to the things of God, live a life that's holy unto God, or you're going to live for Satan. And then don't get mad when somebody point out some things to you, you know, because we don't have but two masters. There's no, it's black or white. There's no gray area. Sometimes we try to fool ourselves. A man was in the doctor's office. We were talking, and he was saying, well, he was saying something, and I brought up a scripture in reference to something that he said. And he said, well, you know, I think I'm kind of okay, he said, because right now, I ain't got no problems with sin. You know, all I do is ride my motorcycle and run women. And I looked at him and I said, excuse me? And you don't have a problem with sin? He said, well, if I die and those are the only two things that I have to give an account for. I mean, he said this to me. He said, I think I'm all right. The mindset. He is all right because he hasn't killed anybody. He is all right because he felt that he hasn't stolen anything. But he don't realize chasing women is stealing. You know, fornication is sin. And if you don't repent, you will go to hell. But he honestly felt that he was all right. And that just breaks my heart. I said, sir, you can't go to heaven living like that. He said, I'm a Christian. I said, no, you're not. He said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, no, sir, you're not. And he winked at me. He said, yes, I am. And I winked back. I said, no, you're not. Then he left. But, you know, we have people that honestly feel that there are degrees of sin. There is no degree. Sin is S-I-N. You know, if you stole, you can't say, well, all I stole was $20 and they committed adultery. Sin is sin. Amen? Thank you, darling. We can't continue to serve sin because we're free. We are no longer bound. We don't have the chains of the enemy over us any longer. We are free. Jesus broke those chains and set us free. Amen. Sin shall no longer be your master. I skipped the whole scripture. Okay. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57. Sin is the sting of death. And we need to know that the consciousness of sin, unconfessed and unforgiven, is what makes people die afraid. I had to put that in there because I witnessed to a person this week, and they were scared to die. And I know we don't like to talk about death a lot. And I sat down, and we prayed, and I asked God to help me with compassion to help them rid their fear. So I gave them the plan of salvation. And then I said, are you harboring unconfessed sin? Are you harboring unforgiveness? Because until you let it go, because that's sin. And you can't die in sin. Amen? When you know your sins are forgiven, you can face death with confidence. When my mama was dying, I just thank and praise God. And Jennifer's a witness, because my mama's Jennifer's aunt, was Jennifer's aunt. But my mama was peaceful. When they called us at the hospital to let us know that if we wanted to see her alive, we needed to come right then. Well, the Holy Spirit had already showed me that my mama was going to die. And that day when I got home, that evening when I got home, because I would go to the hospital and sit with my mom from 7:45 in the morning until 7:45 in the evening. And then one of my other sisters would come in. And I did this for a week and a half, every day for a week and a half. And 2 days before my mom died, she started talking to her mom. I would walk into the room and my mom would be talking to her mom. And one day I heard her say, "I can't come right now." Because she said, you said my children can't come. She said, "So I can't come right now." And she went on back to sleep. She closed the eyes and went on back to sleep. I didn't wake her. And when she finally woke up on her own, we started talking about different things. And that thing bothered me. And I'm thinking to myself, Mama really know that we can't go with her right now anyway. But what had happened was, my sisters, we were all there all the time, but my brother had never come over to see Mama. And she was waiting because she had a word to give that child. That Wednesday when my brother came over, because I called him and I said, "Look, you need to get over there and see Mama." So when he came and, you know, he a little hesitant because he know he a hard head. He know he hadn't been doing what he was supposed to be doing. And he looked at me and said, "Well, what do I tell her?" I said, "Tell her what's on your heart. Just talk to her." And after they had that conversation and everything, and she went back to sleep. And when she woke up hours later, she said, "Wanda, can I ask you something?" I said, "Sure, Mama." She said, "Michael did come by today, didn't he?" I said, "He sure did." She said, "Did I talk to him?" And I said, "You sure did." She said, "Did I make sense?" I said, "God sense." Because she told him some things that definitely would help him. But when I got home that evening, I told my husband, I said, "I'm not going to eat dinner. I'm not hungry." I said, "I'm going to shower and go to bed because mama is dying." And my husband said, "Okay." So I did. I showered. I got in the bed. He came in. Just let me rest on him, just held me until I went to sleep. And sure enough, because she said when I left, I said, "Mama, I'll see you in the morning." I said, "I'll be there 7:45. She said, "Oh, no, baby, you need to come real early." I said, "You want me to come earlier than 7:45? She said, "Oh, yeah, you got to come real early." We got the call at 11:50 that Wednesday night. And when we got over to the hop, me and my sisters, all of us rushed. We met at the impasse at the same place at the same time. When we got in the where they had Mama, it was Thursday. It was 12:10, which was the new day. She said, "You need to come real early." And she looked at me. She said, "Baby, I want this to be over. I am ready to go. I want this to be over real quick." I said, "Mama, I promise." See, when you die in Christ, when you die and you don't have, because when anybody that, you all don't know my mama, but Jen know, my mama told you what she had to tell you, and that was it. She didn't hold a grudge. She didn't hold unforgiveness or anything. My dad was was a Casanova, to put it nicely, and he was an alcoholic. He had some problems. But my mama was a God woman, and she raised us to trust God above everything. She knew the teaching she had put in us, and that was one thing she said that Wednesday when I was sitting there with her. She said, "Just remember what I taught you." And not only did she teach us, but she lived the life before us. So you need to check your life. How you living before your kids? You know? If you got unforgiveness, let it go. If you got unconfessed sin, let it go. Don't miss the mark on a technicality when we are no longer under sin. We are free. And with the Lord, whom the Lord has set free, is free indeed. Jesus took away our sins, unforgiveness. Is a sin. He took away our sin, and we want to hold on to sin. In spite of what he did for us, we still want to hold on to it. But we say we're okay. Oh, I'm all right. I'm saved. You know, I'm on my way to heaven. No, you're not. I ain't trying to bust nobody's bubble, but I'm just trying to help you. We have got to let go of unconfessed and unforgiveness. Amen? When you know your sins are forgiven, you can face death with confidence. We need to realize that we're not even promised the rest of this day. So if you're holding on to something, you need to let it go right now. As a matter of fact, close your eyes right now. And just pour your heart out to God. Just ask God, say, Lord, whatever it is. Yes, she makes me mad and she gets on my nerves and the sight of her makes me sick. God, none of that is of the righteousness of you. So I'm asking right now, God, if you would forgive me. Forgive me because he hurt me, Lord God. Forgive me because I love somebody I wanted and not somebody you wanted for me. And I'm in a bad place. Forgive me, Lord God, because I didn't raise my children according to your word. I raised them the best I knew how. But God, since I'm in your word, I realize I see my error. But God, I'm asking if you would just help me in that place. And then God, there's brokenness in my life. And God, I need you to fix that brokenness. I don't want to live with it any longer, Lord God. I don't want to be like the woman that's bent over, Lord God. I'm bending, but God, I'm not going to break because I've got word right now, and I know that I'm free. I know that who you have set free is free. And God, I want to walk from this moment on in freedom. I don't want to be any longer under unconfessed or sin or unforgiven sin, Lord God. I want you to cleanse me. Right now, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet with fresh anointing, Lord God, because I want to be able to worship you, Lord God, and I want to be able to praise you, Lord God, but I want to do it in purity of heart, Lord God, of mind, Lord God. So I'm asking if you would do this right now for me, and I'm just thanking you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. See, through faith in Jesus the Christ, we have victory over death and the grave. See, death, and when the Holy Spirit gave me this yesterday when I was working, I had to get up from my computer and just run around my office. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you all, death stung itself to death at the cross. I just got so happy. Vicky, I'm telling you, I thought I was going to lose my mind. Death stung itself to death at the cross. Death, where is that sting? It don't exist. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Amen? The truth of the resurrection has changed everything. The cross provides hope, and it enables, it encourages you and I to press on, even in the face of difficulties. The songwriter put it best when he said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Second Timothy 1:10. The resurrection of Jesus is a promise that all who trust in Jesus will rise from the dead, and we too will die no more. One day, soon and very soon, amen, Jesus robbed death of its sting. Death is the deliverer for the believer now. Our souls rest when we die in the presence of God. Amen. Give God some praise in the house. Give him praise. That's good news. Sin shall not no longer be your master. For you are not, you are no longer under the requirements of the law. We are under grace. Instead, we live under the freedom. We have freedom. We don't just live under grace. We live under the freedom of God's grace. Amen. You see, law and grace are incompatible. They can't live together. They can't work together. They'll never be in harmony together. They are opposites of each other. They are always conflicting. One brings slavery and death. That's the law. And the other brings freedom and grace. That's grace. Amen. So let's give God some praise again for our lesson. We are free. That's the good news. We are free. We are, the songwriter just, hit the nail on the head. We are no longer bound. If we choose to be bound, then that's our choice. But we're free. So regardless of, we err. We do err. As long as we live in this flesh, because Satan is so angry because we made Jesus our choice. And he's not going to give up until he gets us back. But he can't get what we don't give. If we don't give him us, he can't get us. Amen? So we are free. And because of the finished work on the cross, we are free. If you get nothing else out of the lesson, we are free in Christ Jesus because of the finished work on the cross. Amen? I know it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross for me. He died for you. You know, that's good news. That should get us up out of the bed and into God's house every single day. Just the fact that one day I was lost in sin. But Jesus, you know, I heard the good news of the gospel and my heart was pricked. We got work to do. Yes, we do. Because we lived longer as sinners than we lived saved. But the good news is, God said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He said, I'm not going to change on you. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of who I am the maker, the creator, the sustainer of everything. Because I am from everlasting to everlasting, I got you. Because I loved you so much, before the foundations of the world was called into being, I already had a plan to save you. Amen? And he did just what he said. Amen? Glory be to God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. We are free. We thank you that we realize, Lord God, we've heard it before, whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. But God is such good news to us, Lord God, even today, that we are free. Even, Lord God, when we are in that valley, in that dark place, God, we know we are still free in Christ, Lord God. We just thank and praise you, Lord God, for your word, God. We just thank and praise you, Lord God, for freedom, Lord God. We just thank and praise you for Jesus, Lord God. We just thank and praise you for the cross, the finished work on the cross, Jesus. We just thank and praise you for the blood you shed for the remission of our sins, Lord. We just thank and praise you for victory over death and the grave, God. We just thank and praise you that you ascended back to our Father where you sit on his right hand, and all power has been given to you in heaven and in earth. We just thank and praise you for sending the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. For now Father, greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. We thank and praise you, Lord, because you're still interceding on our behalf. We thank and praise you because one day soon you're going to crack that sky and the dead in Christ are going to get up first and those who remain are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We thank and praise you for life today, Lord God, knowing that you owed us nothing, but you've given us everything. We thank and praise you, Lord God, just for being God all by yourself. We thank and praise you for being the I am of our lives. We thank and praise you that we're saved, Lord God. We thank and praise you we're redeemed, Lord God. We thank and praise you, Lord God, we are free. In the name of Jesus, amen.